Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am here in the arcade, whatever that means. So, welcome. I hope you are doing well, and I hope you're having a nice day. Today is Wednesday, the 4th of March. March 4th! Oh, I like that. March 4th. And do unto others as they might do unto you. Don't say that, because in this world today, that could be a real problem. So, how you doing? I hope you're all doing well. Oh, Audra's in the room. How you doing, Audra? And Renee's in the room. What room am I speaking of, sayest thou? Why, it's the YouTube chat room. How do you get there? You go to YouTube at moabdelbaki.com. No, forget the .com. Get rid of the .com. It's just YouTube at moabdelbaki, which is M-O-A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I. And that'll get you right to it. And who else? Oh, Renee's in there. Happy March, everybody. Yeah, happy March, everybody. February, the shortest month of the year. It's over. So now we're into March, and time to fly those kites. Don't have much wind today. We had certainly had some wind just the other day. Yesterday was windy. Of course, we had a lot of wind in February as well. Lots of wind. Lots of wind, indeed. So, how are you? I hope you're doing well. Let's see, what's new in the world? Nothing. Nothing happening in the world. Everything is just as fine as can be, at least for the next bit of time here. That's how I'm going to play it. So crazy people running the world. Do you agree? I think so. We've got absolute lunatics running the world. Nutso, out of their mind, crazy people. Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe if I sat in that chair for one day, I'd be nuts too. I don't know. Seems like they're kind of crazy when they go in, isn't it? They kind of, you know, anyone who wants to do that job is out of their mind when they start. So, yeah, Audra agrees. Nutso. Lunaticies. Just taking human lives. Boom, boom, boom. Let's just take some human lives here and there and just see what happens when we do so. I wouldn't want that on my conscience, nor my karma, nor anything else. So I'll just sit here and play with my beads. Got my beads. These are my dragon beads, I Ching dragon beads. It just so happened that I was working with the I Ching when today's a question arose, which was, should oracles change with humanity? What does that mean? What does that mean? Should we just jump right into it? This is more of an exercise in futility, I think. I don't think there's any question that the oracles work. I mean, they do seem to work, and they seem to work pretty darn well. But my question is, well, we're using oracles, for the most part, for example, astrology, is as old as humankind itself. At the Temple of Dendera, on the ceiling, and the Temple of Dendera is very, very old, but it is actually more a Hellenistic sort of thing. So it's not as old as, like, the pyramid texts, which are very old, very old. Like, 5th dynasty old. Yeah, it's not that old. But there's a round depiction. That's supposed to be round, depiction of the sky. And there we can see a more or less sort of modern zodiac. And so that's pretty old, pretty old. I mean, the zodiac that we follow today in astrology is basically based upon the concept that the Earth is the center of the solar system. And we know now, of course, that that is not the case. Okay, but we still follow it that way. And we know that there is a heliocentric solar system, and that's good. I do what's called Vedic astrology, which actually, and we use the tropical system in the West. I don't use a tropical system. I use what's known as the sidereal system, which sidereal means it goes by the placement of the stars, which means that it uses the actual position of the planets in the sky, more or less, which means that it's not like what most people know. So you probably, your sign will change. Mine does not, because I was born in the middle of the month. And so that oftentimes stays pretty much the same. So consequently, I mean, we're talking about something that's very old. And even though I use a sidereal system, which uses more or less the real placement of the planets in the sky, still the basic system says that there are only the original 9 planets, the 7 planets in the sky, you know, or the, well, you know, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, well, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, well, Earth doesn't count, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Sun, Moon, 7 planets. Doesn't go Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, doesn't use them. That's old. That's really old. So we're talking something that is very, very, very old. Tarot. Tarot, love tarot. I've been using tarot, I've had a tarot deck in my life for over 60 years. 60 plus years I've been working with tarot, studying it diligently for most of my life. And I mean diligently, I mean the nuts and bolts of it, you know, the hardcore stuff, you know, what makes it work? Why is it what it is? The hermetic aspects of it, just, you know, the stuff. Love it. But tarot is a kind of a medieval thing, you know. Goes into the Renaissance, and then it goes into the Victorian era. The tarot that most people use, the Rider-Waite deck, or the Arthur Edward Waite deck, drawn by Pamela Coleman Smith, which I've spoken of a great deal, is a result, if you will, of the Victorian era, even though I think it was done in 1912 or 1909, somewhere around there, I think 12. And so that's over 100 years old, and let's face it, things have changed a wee bit since the early 1900s till now. Things are a little bit different. That's that. I Ching, which I am, as you know, extremely fond of. I am astounded by these dragon beads. Floor me. I've been doing an awful lot of work with this lately. I've used the I Ching since I was 14. And so I've been using it a long, long time. Yarrow stocks and the coins and these beads as well. But lately I've been using the beads a lot with stunning results. Just very quick, very accurate results. And it's like, oh my goodness, how does this work? Well, it doesn't matter how it works. but it does work. But when I use the I Ching, I'll be quite honest with you, especially when I'm using a traditional book, I'll find myself a little bit embarrassed by the fact that it is rather sexist. And it is based upon ancient or very old Chinese culture and the cultural mores that were around back then. And so it's like, I am very uncomfortable at times, just plain uncomfortable. It's like, I don't know, do I like this? Do I like the way this feels? I'm not so sure I want to. But you get the gist of it anyway. You get the feel of what it is and how you want to use it and what you're doing with it, right? You kind of get that. You say, all right, I get that. So it's a fascinating thing working with all these. And palmistry, well, that's really old too. Hands generally don't change, but our thoughts around them might, you know. The love line, the love line, really, the, you know. Do we still have the marriage line? I mean, is marriage the same as it was? Even as it was in the 40s, it's not. Things have changed a great deal. So I really began thinking quite a bit about this concept, about we use these oracles that are hundreds of years old. I Ching is 5,000 years old. And yet we still use them, but they work. I guess the bottom line should be they work, but I want to think about this. When I presented my deck to U.S. Games, they were very nice, very kind, although I'm not the best artist in the world. I will be the first to say that. But part of my thought was what I really was trying to do was present a deck that it was my deck. I mean, I said this is a deck that is based upon my years of working with the cards and that I want to represent my knowledge and what I believe the cards to be. What my take on Tarot absolutely is. And I was willing to write, the little white book to go along with it. And as a matter of fact, I was willing to write a big old thick book to go along with it because I have some very specific ideas of what Tarot is and what it is not. But the answer was very to the point. We only are looking for traditional Tarot decks. Now, they publish a lot of Tarot decks that are kind of non-traditional. Better artwork, I will absolutely admit that. I'm more of a cartoonist and that sort of thing, you know. I think that's... But also, some of my ideas were just kind of weird. You know, they're just kind of strange. Not exactly along the... Here, let me see if I... First of all, the backs of my deck, I don't think they like the back at all. Because the back of my deck is me with a rabbit, you know, a big old tall rabbit, a puka, and holding a puppy, which was very important to me at the time, and it's still important to me at the time. I suppose if I wanted to redesign that, maybe they would, you know. And my Five of Swords, is five shards of a mirror. And I think they probably didn't understand that or even kind of want to. But it makes perfect sense to me. And that is in defeat. It doesn't have that usual kind of meaning. You know, there aren't swords there. But you can get cut from a shard of a mirror just as easily as you can anything else. Some of the other things, my chariot card, for example. My chariot card is a mala. It's running beads. I'm a bead guy. I love beads. I've got beads around my neck. I've got beads in my hand. I've got beads in two pockets. I've got beads in this pocket right here. I just happen to have a set of beads. These are beads to play with. These aren't beads for anything else but that. These are komboloi, Greek. Actually, My son got me these for Father's Day a good decade ago, at least, and they're for playing. Nice beads. Plastic, but they're great beads, you know. I love them. I love them very much. To me, the concept of the chariot, more than being just, to me, beads are, they can be many, many things. The basic idea of the chariot is just that. It's a chariot in the old way. But remember, the chariot in the original sense was that of Ezekiel. You have to read up on Ezekiel. Let me show you my card here. I'll go through. And I'll tell you why I'm asking this question about do oracles need to be... I don't know that they do. But I think that we'll find that there's a theme that goes through. For example, my emperor probably really did not make any sense to them. My emperor is... The pictures they got were much clearer and big. I had to upload these to the site in 300 dpi. I think maybe 600 I did. And that's what they saw. This is a lighthouse keeper standing in front of a first order Fresnel lens at night, looking out into the fog with a telescope. That's the emperor. And I go into detail in the text that I wrote for this about what a lighthouse keeper had to do to maintain his job. That's what the emperors of any emperor, because we're talking an emperor. We're in the 21st century, living in a democratic, for a while, society. I'm kidding. I think things are going to be just fine. So what is an emperor? Someone who has a domain, who believes in keeping that domain. Hello, Lisa. Snuck in on me. I didn't see you there. Welcome. Who believes in absolutely making sure that that domain is best taken care of. That's what an emperor does. As a matter of fact, in ancient times, the role of the emperor is to intervene between deity and earth. That's what the emperor did. Pharaoh, king, that's what their job was. And if they did not do their job properly, that's kind of how it went. My cards, to me, were my understanding of Tarot throughout the years. And that's what it was. And they weren't looking for a standard deck. So when you had eight swords, you showed eight swords. You didn't tell a story with those eight swords. You didn't show eight chefs at a small table all using their knives very quickly. Interference. They said they were just looking for standard, you know. I think, because I'm me, and because I, I think they kind of missed out on something unique. And that was, and I, you know, I don't think anyone makes much money publishing a deck. I think where you, and that's not why I did it. That wasn't it. But it was a chance to, in my opinion, update those images a little bit, because let's think about this. Tarot started out not as a divination system, but rather as a game. Let me see if I can... Yes, right here. Hang on. Bear with me. Excuse my reach here. Carte Super Lux. That's French. I can't remember 78. Soixante? I don't know. Is Anne in the room? Does anyone know French? Not soixante. Is it? Soixante. Not neuf. Soixante huit. Soixante-oui? I don't know if it's soixante. I took French, but it's been a long time. Good friend of mine speaks fluent French. And she's been writing me a little bit in French to try and, you know, hone up. Because we took French together from the seventh grade on. And now this is a tarot deck. But this is a tarot deck for playing cards. And this is French. And you're going to be surprised to see the suits. Maybe you won't be surprised to see the suits. Maybe you will. This is tarot as they play it and spelled the same way, not tarok, as they spell it in some of the Slavic countries. But get you ready? What is this? Why, that's the Five of Spades, isn't it? And that's right. We got our suited cards. Why, mais oui. That's the valet, isn't it? Yeah. The valet the spades. And here we have the Four of Diamonds. I'm telling you. So these tarot cards started out, our modern tarot cards, of wands and cups and swords and discs, or pentangles if you want, or pentacles, come from Spain or Italian decks. I actually have an Italian deck. Where is that? There's a fun game that you can play called Scopa, and that's a fun game and good for divination too if you want to learn that. But here is a major arcana card in the French deck. And you can see this today, how they play this. It's 16, which would be the tower card in a modern deck. But try and figure this out. And it has two sides. And one is a city side and one is a country side. I love this deck. And would I read with it? I could in a pinch. Sure, any of us could who read tarot and do a lot of tarot work. We could all sit down and read with it, you know. But the key here is that tarot started out as a game, not as a way to do readings. However, what did they have to do? And this does not have the traditional tarot iconography. Although one of the oldest tarot decks is the Tarot de Marseille, right? Yeah. And so that has that. But I just had to have one of these decks. I just thought, man, this is so cool. When you play tarot online or get a game that you buy and then you play against the computer, which always wins, of course, because it's a computer, because it knows how to play the game that is quite frankly confounding, I will say, quite confounding. It's bridge, essentially, but because it's tricks being taken, but it's you against the other three people, or you against five people. Well, against four people. It's you against the world, essentially, makes sense, which is what a tarot reading is like when you think about it, right? Very much so. So these people who were gambling, they picked cards, and they invented these cards in the late 1300s, early 14th century. And the church said, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're playing a game." And the church said, "We do not approve of gaming." And they said, "Well, but look at the cards. We've redesigned them so that they represent church iconography. And they represent society. So we have the noble people who have staffs. They carry big sticks. And then we have the clergy. And the clergy have the cups, right? They have the grails, and they have the cups, and as a matter of fact, I was at a very Catholic wedding, at a very old, as a matter of fact, it was in Santa Barbara, and it was like a 600-year-old. I think it was it a cathedral? Might have been, and it was very old Spanish mission type thing in Santa Barbara. I might have been the mission of Santa Barbara. But it was very cool. And I saw all these things on the walls, you know, paintings and Kabbalistic stuff, and I was like gaga, you know, cuckoo over it. And during the services, you know, at the end they held up the platen, you know, the dish, and I just went, wow, and they held up the grail, and it was like, oh, this is all so cool, because I could see where it all came from. It was right out of, you know, and so you get this incredible sense of this is really far out. This is where it came from. You know, oh, well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. She says she loves my deck and she understands it easier. Well, I drew Tarot as I understood it, just as I understand Tarot. And it really means something to me. It's very important to me. I looked it up, by the way, and I went to the site, Make Playing Cards. I found my deck. And it's like, here it is, it's for sale. And they deleted all the pictures. They're all gone. I have to re-up all of them. Thank goodness I have all the drawings, even after a great computer meltdown. And that takes a little bit of time. Not a whole lot of time, but it takes time. So if anyone is interested, I guess I will be doing that. And I don't know how long they keep them up. Obviously, they have thousands of decks, and the price of the cards due to the price of everything has gone up. So they were cheaper than they are now, and of course I think there's probably a tariff on them of a few bucks. It's not a lot. I don't know where we are with tariffs anymore. It's kind of you know how it is. That's politics, and I don't understand it. But it's just one of those things. But if you know, I'm going to do it. And I don't know. I guess I could write them and say, don't delete them this time, please. Don't delete them, please. Because they've done it before, like 3 or 4 times. I don't know what their criteria is. And I'm also going to up my psychedelic Kipper deck. I have a psychedelic Kipper deck, and I don't know if anyone would be interested in that, although I'm going to talk about the Kipper deck sometime, and I'm going to use, and that is something that I think could be, of course, I don't know that anyone would, you know, because I didn't label them, because I know them, but there's one of the cards, and it is psychedelic. You know, I mean, I guess it would be with a name like the Psychedelic Kipper deck. And there's another card. And there's another card. And there's another card. And as you can see, I'll have to go get it. I don't have it readily. And you won't be able to buy them. But when I do, I will leave a link. I promise you. Okay? I'll actually announce it. These are colorful, aren't they? These are glossy. And that's what makes them... Let me find some cool cards here. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Yeah. I mean, is that wild? Yeah. Here's one of the best cards in the deck. Notice what this is? Paisleys. Yeah. I'm into Paisley, in case you hadn't noticed. It's a big deal for me. Here's one that's called Journey. Or Journey. Can you see what that is? That's a hot air balloon on its way somewhere. With, of course, more Paisleys. Oh, I love this one. This one is called The Thief. Now, not that crows are thieves, well, Audra, I will definitely, do this. Oh, Raven, you're fine. Look, you came just in time to see the crow. And that's right, Audra, you remember Paisley Windsock. Yeah. I've always been fascinated with Paisleys. I have theories about them. Here's a cool card. See, there's an old Kipper deck, which is from the 1880s, I think, and this is my take on it. I think that they should be updated, you see. Here, this one is called Home. Home. I really like that. To me, this feels home to me. But I grew up in the Rocky Mountain West. So to me, this feels like home. If you grew up somewhere far away from the Rocky Mountain West, you might be thinking, this guy is crazy. You see? I don't know if you can see what this is, but this is a bat. Okay, can you see the bat in there? No, it's hard to see, but... This is a wedding. Do you have the rings? Yeah, of course you do. So here's another one. And here's the back of these cards. My theory being that old hippies never die, they just fade into Paisley. So, there we go. Kipper cards, yes. Okay, Audra, let me talk about the Kipper cards for a second. Interesting. Because the Kipper cards... Oh, let me show you quickly my death card. I like this very much. This, I don't know if you can see it very well. It's a crocodile. It's a Nile crocodile, specifically. Psychedelic. It is a German system. It is a German system of 36 cards, not unlike the Lenormand deck in that sense. And when I do talk about it, I'm hoping I have a program known as Card Warden, and I'm hoping to show it to you and how to use it through Card Warden. I'll be using these cards. I did not label these cards, and I'm thinking of redoing them and making one set available that are labeled, although I think that's I don't like the idea of that one, of labeling them. I just don't. Oh, I love this one. This is called Prison. Yeah, do you get it? Do you see that in that? Those of you listening on the radio, you can later hop onto YouTube and you can see these cards. And as you can see, they are psychedelic. For those of you who have never experienced that, you can kind of get the feeling, though. Prison is the prison of the mind as much as anything else. This one is illness. And illness. And as you can see, it's a big whale. Just doing something whales can't actually do, but in the mind they can. I might have to write a book to go along with this too. So the Kipper cards, German, Bavarian, I think, actually. But and I'll tell you a book if you're interested to buy, because oh, thanks, Raven. Because there are books that I don't think are that good. The lady who wrote is Toni Puhle, P-U-H-L. I suggest her book, although her name is no longer Puhle, I noticed. I think she probably got a divorce or something. But she lived in Germany, and she learned from someone. It was like, it became a kind of a gypsy thing. But the thing I like about these cards is that the readings become, they're not static. They move. I was bored one day, just really bored. It's like these Loteria cards, you know? These Loteria cards, the Mexican bingo game cards. And I did a whole show on this where I without knowing the meanings of the cards in to fortune tellers, I just started reading the cards, and they were really, really good. I mean... Oh, the Moon deck. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Renee. Do you use that Moon deck? They're still there, and I think they're actually... I don't know if they're there or not. I don't think they deleted those, because there's not that many of them. There's 36. I use those from time to time. They tell me something. The Moon deck, I don't think I have a deck nearby. They're round, and they're about the moon. I'll have to do that, but yeah, these Mexican... See, these are a game. They've been around for a long, long time. But there's a drum, and here's a, you know, I always think the chalupa is a boat, you know. And I mean, I love divination. But you see, the Kipper cards, let me get back to that. They have rules. They're what are called stop cards. So when you ask a question and you put down a stop card, you stop. That's the answer. You have to suss it out. That's the thing about divination. A good divination tool is going to tell you everything that can happen in the entire universe. You know? That's it. So if it's Tarot, the I Ching, if it's, you know, no matter what it is, it's going to tell you everything that exists, you know? Let's see here. I like the first... the Moon deck. That's what Renee. My cards seem dynamic. My cards? Which ones, Audra? I like something that has, you know... cards are dynamic to you. Yeah, they should be. Cards should not be static. They shouldn't be, they should move. And that's what I'm saying about these old systems. So, for example, we're talking about a time that was oppressive when Tarot was created. Now, the Kipper cards supposedly had some heavy, some heavy Gypsy, Romany influences, at least from what I can gather. Tony Poole has a great book on it. You can get it at... I got it at Amazon. I don't know if it's still available. I have never been able to get her cards, but you'll see in the book, I'm just going to say this, I didn't like the cards. Nothing against them. They're labeled. That's nice. It comes in handy. I designed these cards. I drew them. And I was like, ugh, I don't know what this card is, or if it's a stop card, or if it's a connection card, or... But there are some very... The book is very, very good. And she has a lot of things on YouTube about them. But the readings are complex in many ways, much too. I like to do readings that, as a matter of fact, maybe I'll talk Kipper cards next week. What sayest thou? You in the chat room, yay? Or nay. Kipper cards next week, March the 11th, shall I? Yes, I don't know. You can let me know. Because if I can get this program to work where I could actually show you how I do it. Okay? Now, I can't use a deck that I don't own. So I have a program that I bought of Kipper cards. But I'm not going to use that because it's like all Victorian and they're all like, they came out of Bridgerton, you know, and I don't want that. So I'll use my deck, which I loaded up into this other program. I'll have to practice it, make sure I can do it through this program that I do this with. And, thank you. And I can talk about how I use it and how I do the readings. But I love it because you get some very interesting readings, and the readings move. They move. I don't have a website anymore. So I would do is I'd try and put together a cheat sheet for you. If I can make these cards available, and by that I mean you'd have to buy them, because I don't have any other way to print them other through make playing cards. And it's in Hong Kong, and you have to pay, you know. But these are really pretty cards, I have to tell you. And then you could write, if you wanted to write on them, I wouldn't, just don't tell me about it, because I'll cry. No, I'm kidding. I don't care. Once you buy them, they're yours. But I just love the appearance of them. You know, they're, like I said, psychedelic, and in my head, a lot of things are. What am I going to say? But it's an upgrade to a newer time. Not that psychedelic is where we are now, but I just wanted to, because a lot of the pictures are like a horse and carriage, and it's like, no, that's not the image, you know. Is your email the same? Yes, it is. And you can also, if you want to get a touch me, if you want to get in touch with me, I like my own slang, I guess, you can do so through this very thing that's happening now. All you have to do is leave a comment underneath this. I'm getting excited. This is fascinating. I feel like I'm actually... this is fascinating. People like this stuff. I get very excited. I get a little frustrated when I realize that people don't seem to care about things that I really find amazing. So this is making me happy. Thank you. And I hope all of you feel a little bit that way. I hope all of you feel that way. So the Kipper cards are different in that you have some cards that are the same, seemingly. But like I said, Toni Poole's book is very, very, very good. It's thorough. It's absolutely thorough. But she does things like the Grand Life, 36 card spread, and it's incredible, and this spread and that spread. But I am an organic reader. I don't do spreads. I haven't done spreads. And I don't do the splits either, but you know, I just don't do those things. I'm kidding, it's a joke, bad one, but I just don't like them. I like to read cards this way, you know. Tell me about this, the war going on right now. Strength, yay, strength. Well, what about strength? What is the key to this? Strength, oh, Queen of Discs, reversed. I know what that means. The Queen of Discs is the, she's the watery part of the earth. The watery part of the earth. The liquid of the earth. What's the liquid of the earth? You tell me. What do you think it is? I think I know what it is. So it's kind of a negative take on that. So the strength is to get the liquid part of the earth. And here is the watery part of water. The Queen of Cups. So I know what that's about. Okay, yeah. So, and it's about this. Okay, might makes right, but this is gain, the Nine of Discs. So it's about something. It's about emotions, right? It's about yes, I know this. This is what I believe anyway, and hopefully I got the I Ching told me the other day that it's going to work out all right and for the better. Now, that was a surprise to me, quite frankly, because I don't see how such horrible things as war that kill people can work out for the better. But I don't know. Well, I'm going to have to prove it to me. Virtue. And this is timing as well. Do you know what this timing is? Those of you in the back row, this is the sun in Aries. So this is going to end, I think, relatively soon, because the sun will go into Aries on the 20th of this month. That will be the vernal equinox. So that's a little mini little class there, if you want that. Okay, exclamation point, Ace of Discs. Some new stuff happening. Financially motivated, obviously. What are we talking about? Oil. That's what we're talking about. And it should be, I don't know, long-term better. I don't like people dying. I'm not going to get into it. That's not why I'm here. But the kipper. So the idea of the kipper is that you have different types of, you have connecting cards, you have stop cards, I mentioned that. You have cards that are, that do things like they transform into other, I mean, it's really far out. I'll talk about it next time, okay? And we'll get into it. And so what you do is you read in an organic sort of way. And the cards are really kind of like, you know, you have a card that's a thief. You have a card that is illness. You have a card, and the illness card is actually also intimacy. You think, well, why is that? Well, because back then, in the 1800s, a doctor would come to a house, and he would diagnose illness. But, of course, that was also the time of Freud, you know, in the late 1800s. And Freud designated that a lot of illness was due to repressed sexuality. I mean, fascinating times. So we'll have some fun next week, okay? Promise. all right. So the question is, so how do we change when we do a tarot reading and you turn over the Hanged Man? Do you understand that that was not a way to kill somebody? And that it was essentially a punishment that was designated for humiliation, essentially. It was for humiliation for someone who had robbed a widow or an orphan, or widows and orphans. And so what they would do is they would hang someone upside down by their heel. And it was painful, but it wasn't going to be fatal. There were some saints that were hung upside down or hanged. Upside down. There's a reason I said it that way, and you know what I'm talking about. You aren't hung. Some are, but most people are hanged upside down. I used to have a list of them. I don't know what I did with it. I think it wasn't Saint Saturnus, but I actually wrote the Vatican, and they would not tell me because I told them why I wanted the information. They did not like that, but that's okay. That's okay. I understand, because the hangman was on a reliquary that was with some stuff that they sent from the Vatican around to art museums, and I saw it, and I just went along with the tower, which is Saint Barbara, and the wheel, which is Saint Catherine, and the hermit, which is Saint Anthony. So we've got these images, which are from a very repressive time when people were being burned at the stake, and that. It's the legend and the essence of tarot. Is that something that we should be carrying around? It works, but does it need to change? I don't know if it needs to change. Those aren't images in my cards. The blasted tower on my deck is a moai from Easter Island, with all by itself with lightning striking around it. That's a warning. The blasted tower, the tower of destruction, whatever, is the story of St. Barbara. You should read that one. That's a goodie. That's a great story, but it's a story. And that's really what tarot is about. You look at the images and you learn, like the hermit. The hermit's a story about St. Anthony, who said, I can't take these people anymore. They're tacky and they irritate me. So he leaves, okay? My hermit is Ahab of Moby Dick, who is so singularly focused on his one thing to do. And I didn't draw it right. I should have drawn it differently. I should have drawn him in black and white on the prow of his ship, staring out at sea, teeth gritted. You know, that's how I should have drawn him. I know now. Audra got it. Yeah, the Hung Man. That's a different deck completely. I've seen those decks. They're, you know, I've seen some angel cards that hinted at that deck, but that's a different story completely. Anyway, what my hermit is about is someone who is so focused on his own world that he will forego anything else and isn't afraid to take down an entire ship of sailors with him. and doesn't care about anybody else except his one, and that to me is the hermit. Why? Because I was in a meditation once, and the hermit came around a corner and almost knocked me off a mountain ledge. That's why. Walked right over me. That's why. Because I've met the hermit on more than one occasion. That's why. Because the hermit doesn't care about you. Doesn't care about you. That's why. That's why. I've met this entity, this thought, whatever it is. And so maybe the key is that we, for example, the 17th hexagram, Tsui, which is following, which is Dui, the lake on top, and thunder below, called following. What is that about? What is following about? Well, its whole premise is that there are times when we must follow. We must follow the weaker element. And the whole premise is ultimately, the whole idea is ultimately that we, you're quite all right, Audra, I enjoyed that, that we must, well, in a way, we must learn to follow before we can lead. There are times when we cannot do anything but follow. And the whole concept of the I Ching is one of self-control, and you have to think about that too. What sort of mindset does the entire oracle have? The I Ching is about humility. The I Ching is not about, even rebellion is kind of tame in the I Ching. So you go through and you read the hexagrams and you think about, what does it mean today? What is this about today? And what is it to me? And how do I feel about it? And what does it really make me in this time do? And that to me is what divination is. Because there are two basic bits of advice that any oracle can give you. Act, don't act. That's it. Act, don't act. That's it. What are you going to do in the meantime? Think about acting or not acting. And you have to be able to plan or not plan. And if it's you know, 700 years old, or if the, I'm thinking we have to be able to, because every generation is going to look at it differently without even understanding how they're changing it. But I think we have to be creative. I think we have to use our minds. I don't think that we, you know, and I love some of the decks that are very interesting. I don't even know the names of some of them. One of the ones I loved was the Alice in Wonderland Tarot. For some reason, because I love Alice in Wonderland, you know. Even though old Dodson, you know, the Reverend Dodson, took a lot of pictures of little girls without their clothes on, which today would land him in the slammer, you know. But supposedly it was all very innocent. Alice said nothing ever happened when she grew up. She said it was just nothing ever happened. So that's good. But Alice Liddell, you just say, okay, okay. So much tragedy in the world. Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie wrote it about his 14-year-old brother who died. Boom, Peter Pan. Tragedy. I'm just saying, why we... Should it change? I don't know. But maybe it should change here. Maybe we have to keep fresh the ideas and not just rely on the symbolism put down by someone 100 years ago that is just so... Even the Crowley deck, that's why I did my own deck. I did a lecture, and after the lecture, I just felt so icky. You know, all these people in the audience who said, you've got to write a book. And I thought, for what reason? This stuff is boring. I mean, I gave the lecture and I was bored giving it. I mean, I thought it was so exciting. And this butterfly on the Fool represents It's a Pantera Crowley. It's a Crowley tiger, which represents the tiger woman, and the arrow is going to kill it. It's a warning from Crowley to always look after you, because someone is going to try and bother you, because he was sued by Betty May, the tiger woman, who is biting him on the leg in this card. And I thought, who cares? I was just so irritated that I had spent 45 years of my life studying this crap. It's interesting, but at the same time, what difference does it make? Maybe in a reading you'll say, oh, maybe there's a lawsuit coming. Because your intuition will draw you to that. But honestly, we have this wonderful ability for creativity in our heads. That's what this brain is for. And we study this stuff, and it's for create your own version. Look at it. Make it fresh. Look at the world around you. Use whatever way you want to, you know, coins, yarrow stocks. Look at read the text of the I Ching, and then let your mind go through and say, ah, that's what this is telling me. You'll be blown away by what comes to you. It's absolutely magnificent, and it's truth. I've made some predictions of what's going to be coming. We'll see. We'll see. These dragon beads I'm carrying them all the time now. And I get answers just like that. Just that fast. Without a book. Just boom, boom. Moving line, moving line. Next hexagram, next hexagram. Final hexagram. And it's that. Okay. That's my time. I'm a free man now. I can go out into the world and wreak havoc. thank you. Thank you. If something brings you joy and doesn't hurt anybody, do it.
That's what I think. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Thanks, Raven. All right, my friends. Next week, Kipper cards, a la Mo, the psychedelic Kipper, okay? And I'll get that program, see if I can get it to work here. I think I can. And if I can, you'll be in, I hope, for some fun. And I'll do the best I can with it, and then hope you can see it, and we'll go from there. All right? Until next week, I wish you peace, and I wish you love. Talk to you later, okay? All right. And just look at the world and realize that there are crazy people running it, and that we're sane, and they're not going to let us run it because we're sane. Okay?
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.